This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Aldrin asked, how did you feel about the Thunder fans giving Russ a standing ovation? A lot of people said it was weak, but I didn't get that. Yeah, I don't know why anyone would think it was weak. There's actually videos you could go back. That crowd loves. The Oklahoma City loves Russell Westbrook, and Russell Westbrook loves Oklahoma City. There ain't nothing wrong with that. There ain't absolutely nothing wrong with that. That happened here. That happened with the guy we just spent 30 minutes talking about. That happened with Bobby Jackson for years. Bobby wasn't on the Kings no more. It's fine. Bobby came back to Sacramento. He was going to get cheered. Every single time, Bobby was going to get cheered. Oklahoma City loves Russell Westbrook. I don't know why anyone would think that was like whack or a shot or whatever. Like, that city loves Russell Westbrook. And like I said, and Russ loves that city. Like, Russ, he didn't leave under bad terms. Presti went to him after the Paul George thing fell apart, or meaning, Paul George wanted to go to Los Angeles, and they went to Russ. Shout out to Sam Presti. He knew. He knew what they were facing. There was obviously an opportunity to build something there with Russell Westbrook and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and then all of the pieces that they had gotten there, but they chose to go to Russell Westbrook and say, what do you want to do? Do you want to kind of see this through, or you want to move on? I'm not going to begrudge you either way. And Russ said, all right, you guys have a direction. Let's see what we could do. And he found a different home. Sam Presti never said a bad thing about Russell Westbrook. To the best of my knowledge, Russell Westbrook never said a bad thing about Sam Presti. I was ultimate professionalism. Nobody was traded under the guise of it being something else. Everybody knew what time it was. Oklahoma City knew what time it was, meaning the city, the fan base. They knew what time it was. And that fan base is not sad. There are no bitter feelings for that fan base at all. They're on top of the world right now. But should they be? That's the question. And that's what Jesse was asking earlier is, did that Nuggets win? Did that Nuggets win change your perception of Oklahoma City?
I think we'll learn a lot about Oklahoma City in game two, just because there's an aspect of, like, they're still pretty young and, like, new to this, I feel. And I think we're still learning whether or not Jalen Williams is a two or Chet. Like, Mark Dagnall's just here. So I want to see if they can correct those late game mistakes that they made yesterday.
Denver's
not going to have, I don't think they'll have those issues. Like, they've been there and all that. Like, they know how to handle crunch time and just the pressure.
I think that I might have, I actually phrased that a little bit wrong. I said, did this change our perception of Oklahoma City? When you actually said, does this change our perception of the Denver Nuggets? I think both can very much be true here. And here's the one thing I think we're forgetting when it comes to the Oklahoma City Thunder. You just talked about Chet and SGA and Mark Dagnall. SGA, I'm pretty certain, is going to win an MVP here in a couple of days. I know this is, I always find this terminology dumb, but it's terminology that we use in sports. The Thunder are ahead of schedule. Like the Thunder last year, what the Thunder did last year is not what people expected. They expected that, there's this in our heads, and I don't know why we do this, and I don't know who creates these timelines, but it's just like steps. Oh, they're going to get a little better. Oh, they're going to go to the first round of the playoffs, the second round of the playoffs. They're going to get a guaranteed playoff spot. Like all of these different, like, it's completely fictitious and made up by people on the radio, people on television, people who write. Denver jumped, like absolutely leaped from, what were they, they were a disaster. And then what were they, like 41-41?
They were kind of headed backwards a bit, and then they figured it out after that.
And then all of a sudden it's like, ah, there they are. Okay, they're good. They're good. We didn't think they'd be that good, but man, they're really good. Then you had kind of the jumbled mess with Denver and Minnesota last year at the top of the conference. And I think that kind of swayed people's thinking. And then, of course, they have this fantastic regular season. And not enough people ask the questions. Well, wait a minute. With virtually every young team, y'all are always talking about playoff inexperience. But no one did that with Oklahoma City. And I didn't understand why. I don't understand why. Said to Kyle Madsen and James Hamm earlier on the Insiders, 10 to 12 here on ESPN 1320. I don't understand why so many people have waited for Cleveland to fail and not one person has posed the same concerns about Oklahoma City. How are those two teams different? Now, there's been a bit of a trajectory with Oklahoma City that is a little bit different than Cleveland, but Cleveland is a little bit more seasoned than Oklahoma City is, and maybe that's part of the problem. We've seen Donovan Mitchell come up short in the playoffs.
I think with OKC, it's
kind of his teams, at least,
a culmination of their process that everyone's been kind of watching from the jump. Now Chet is ready to go. Jalen Williams is someone that everyone really likes. SGA is about to win MVP. Like, now everyone's, like, I guess, finally seeing it come together after a few years, maybe. Whereas Cleveland's kind of been around in the playoffs and just never really hit that next step, mm-hmm, other than this year, I guess.
I think a lot more people are going to be talking about Oklahoma City's inexperience after Mark Dagnall's call last night to foul and do some of those different things that he did in the late stages of that game. Also, normally, there are teams that get, what's the term I'm looking for? They get, they kind of get a championship pass. They get the benefit of the doubt as a champion. Denver Nuggets have won an NBA championship. They didn't get the benefit of the doubt all year. So, they didn't get the benefit of the doubt by us. We were like, ah, Denver's not very good. Then they have the incident with Michael Malone. Or they won't call it an incident, but they fire Michael Malone and Calvin Booth at the end of the season. And it's like, what?
Wasn't even about them not being very good. I think we just all thought that period.
It's run its course.
Yeah, it's run its course. Like, yeah. It's over now.
It's run its course.
Like, now maybe it's time to move MPJ and all those guys.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do next? What's going to take you? What's going to take you to the next spot? What's the next step for this team? I know my man Cole's got a vested interest in this series. 916-909-1320, Oak Grove Kia Talk Line. What's up, Cole?
What's up, Damian? What's up, Jesse? All right, y'all. So tell me if you guys have ever seen in the NBA playoffs a team do what OKC did, a team that had a lead, a three-point lead, and immediately start fouling.
Yeah.
Like, you immediately start fouling, and then the biggest, dumbest mistake is Jokic. They make, because Jokic had five fouls.
Mm-hmm.
You watching him on the sideline, why the hell would you foul? Then he gets to come back in the game. They didn't have no timeouts, and it was only 11.8 seconds left.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot win a game playing scared, any sport. And I'm just confused. Have y'all ever seen a team do that when they were up in the playoffs by 3 points, start doing the fouling game? I've never seen that in my life.
Yeah, that's a crazy strategy, Cole. And that's where, you know, Mark Daigneault's going to face a lot of criticism. And I, you know, you quiet that noise if you're Mark Daigneault in the Oklahoma City Thunder by just, you know, easy for me to say sitting here, you win the next game. Like, no one looks like Denver's, again, Denver is a champion. Nikola Jokic, y'all know I respect Nikola Jokic's game. Like, I'm just not the biggest, like, fan. He's incredible. Like, I would never, ever take away from the fact that Nikola Jokic is incredible. And through all of these absurd triple-double games that he's had, these 20-point rebound games, or these 20-point, 20-rebound games, 30-point, 20-rebound games, 15 assists, all of these not-since-Wilt numbers, which I think he might have had another one last night. Last night's game was one of the most impressive I've seen from Nikola Jokic. As a shoot, one, SGA, no matter how I, not SGA, the Oklahoma City Thunder, SGA too, but the Oklahoma City Thunder is a team. No matter how I feel about them, that's a great defensive team. But I think best in the league on the regular season. Just phenomenal. And they made life really difficult for Nikola Jokic. They fought Nikola Jokic that entire game. Literally and figuratively, they fought that man. And Jokic fought through it. 42 points, 22 rebounds. Incredibly, just incredible stat line. But that 18 points in the fourth quarter, where it just kept feeling like Denver was dead, was amazing. I mentioned those 22 rebounds, by the way. Five of those were offensive rebounds. Cole, you talk about the strategy that the Oklahoma City Thunder had late in that game. We could talk strategy, and we could talk what Mark Daigneault did and all of that, and you could be frustrated with that. That's 100% fair, and that's going to be a story until game two, for sure. Five offensive rebounds for Nikola Jokic. Seven for Aaron Gordon. 21 offensive rebounds, dude. You're giving the Denver Nuggets 21 second opportunities. You're giving 42-point Nikola Jokic 21 more opportunities. 21-13 in the offensive rebounding category.
Okay, so he was supposed to fix that up in the offseason, too.
That's death right there. Yo, who am I telling? Who am I telling about all Kings fans? What cost the Sacramento Kings that series against... Now, rephrase that. What's one of the things that cost the Sacramento Kings that series against the Golden State Warriors? Offensive rebounding. What did Mike scream and yell about after that New York Knicks game? Offensive rebounding. 21-13. Jesse's right. You were supposed to have this tightened up by the time we got to this point. Mark Daigneault can fix his strategy. You don't fix that, you lose again. Mark Daigneault can fix his strategy. You don't fix that, you lose the series.
Yeah, Aaron Gordon and Jokic had 36 total rebounds compared to Chet and Hartenstein's 15.
Come on, man.
SGA led the Thunder in rebounds with 10. It's not going to work.
Man, can't do that. And Denver was able to do that and pull out that 2-point win.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
With the heroics of Aaron Gordon, great performance from a man, Russell Westbrook, and you know what they didn't get? They didn't get that Jamal Murray game. Which means, because I get it. I recognize how it works. It's still out there. That Jamal Murray game is still out there, which means Denver has an opportunity to get another one, which means, yo, I think we might have a series. We might have a real legit series. And I'm going to stop short of the day after overreaction saying Oklahoma City's in big trouble. I don't know that they are. I've watched Oklahoma City with a side eye all year. I'm anxious to see how this Thunder Nuggets series prevails. I'm anxious to talk about this, or unfails, I should say. I'm anxious to talk about this with Trista Crick as well. And who has the most to gain from a big postseason? Is it Anthony Edwards, or is it someone else? Got that on the way. Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Conversation continues during the commercial break over on YouTube.com/ESPN1320. Hit the thumbs up there. Even if you are listening on the radio, if you're listening on the Odyssey app, Salute Company loves when you listen on the Odyssey app. Go back and check us out on YouTube. Always some great stuff over there. Jesse does a great job of separating, you know, our different subjects and all of that. But always a good time over on YouTube where we are live from 12 to 4. No commercial breaks over there. We just keep talking. We just keep having fun. And that don't change, man. That don't change because we've got a lot of basketball to talk about. Plus, you can see Trista Crick. She's going to join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Jason Jones is going to join us in the final hour of the show. Lots of talk about the terrific action in game ones last night of round two with the Knicks grabbing a last-second road win against the Boston Celtics, and then the Denver Nuggets following that up with, I got you, player, a road win against the top-seeded Oklahoma City Thunder.
Denver winning made me feel a lot better about yesterday's game, Celtics losing.
Do you feel bad at all about the
I respect what the Knicks
the Celtics
have,
losing?
But, like, I'm not worried after game one. I just, like they acknowledged after the game. They settled for threes. They needed to get to the rim more. I think if you do that in game two, it'll look a lot better. Like, because up until the Knicks came back, it was the same game that we saw all season long. Cat was in foul trouble. They did the Hakka Mitchell Robinson thing, which was kind of new because Robinson didn't really play much against them this season. But I just think you got to get to the rim a little bit more and stop. Like, threes are their game, but you got to get to the bucket. Like, also, you can't do what you do in the third quarter. Because I think you keep missing threes, the Knicks keep chipping away, and like I said, that's how they get right back into it. But yeah, I'm not worried about it. Like, I can see the Knicks. I picked the Celtics in six on the show yesterday, so I guess I got the Knicks winning one more, so we'll see.
Yeah, I didn't buy it.
You didn't buy it?
I'm just kind of a hater, though. I didn't buy it. We'll see what happens in game. Like, the Knicks aren't trash, though. Like, I don't mean
to. Yeah, they're
a
great team.
Yeah, like, I don't mean to imply that the Knicks aren't good, that they're not capable of. I think they're capable of beating any team in the conference except for maybe Boston.
I could just point to the Celtics historically missing 45 threes, like the most all-time in the playoffs. I'm like, yeah, just miss 43 and you win.
I think you have a... I think you've got a point, whether we've brought it on the air or we have kept it quiet. I think you've got a point about Karl-Anthony Towns. Like, I know you said this earlier that maybe they can win this series without Kat.
Yeah, I think because what OG did yesterday was pretty impressive in the threes playing defense and all that. But, like, he's got to be that then, I think.
Mikal played 51 minutes last night of, like, level 10 defense. That's where Mikal could really make his mark on the series. Maybe it's where Mikal really makes his mark in this league as a high profile player. But you got that crazy, you know, you got the fallback of the Celtics because of all of those missed threes in the second half. Then you had Jalen with that strong second half, and he won 108-105
in overtime.
Like, Denver and Oklahoma City scored more than you did. If that's the formula, I don't think that's sustainable for New York. And Jalen is good, and he's shown this all postseason. He's good for 30 plus. He had 29 last night. Then you got 29 from OG. That's a bit over his marker.
Listen, I think OG's going to have to be around there. He's going to be 30 a game, but he's going to have to be probably at least 25, I think.
If you're at 30, if you're at 25 to 30 with OG, you're probably 12 or less with Mikal. And if Mikal is just solely a defensive juggernaut, which he was last night, you have to have something from Karl-Anthony Towns. Because
yeah.
Josh Hart's going to be there for you every night. Like,
yeah.
On both sides of the floor, to his performance level. Cat's going to have to. It's not just, you know, low-key 14 points. He had 14 on 13.
Foul trouble, too, and then Boston stopped driving
on
him. That's the thing. Like, Cat has kind of looked like this against the Celtics all season long. We talk about, like, different teams, but Boston's kind of had an answer for him.
You know what the I wasn't in the locker room, so I don't know. But what I imagine the Knicks are talking about in their locker room today, the Celtics are talking about that 45 missed threes, 25% from beyond the arc, 17 of 31, 54% from the free throw line is what New York shot.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson had a lot to do with that one.
A lot to do with it. He missed 7 by himself. But those are possessions.
Yep.
Those are possessions right there. I don't know. This series is interesting. I'm not... As much as Denver got my attention and was like, okay, I've had my feelings about Oklahoma City. There's something here. The New York Knicks did not.
Are the Pacers, I guess, going off the teams that upset in game one? Are the Pacers the one? Is there anyone that won game one that upset that you could see winning the series?
The Pacers.
Pacers?
Yep. Well, the Nuggets. I could see the Nuggets.
But would it be
the
Pacers ahead of the Nuggets?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the Pacers, I'm a full-on believer in the Pacers, and I hate that because they're going against the Cavs, and I feel like I've been stuck in a position where I have to root for the Cavs because you two hate them so much.
I feel like that's a little overblown.
I don't think it is.
I don't hate the Cleveland Cavaliers. I just talk about the city of Cleveland itself.
Well, that's true.
And I had some questions after game two, I think, against Miami, which were barely even questions. Like I said, I did preface that with, hey, it's barely even a take. Mm-hmm. But you guys all ran with that, of course. That's what the media does.
Well, it's because your boy back
attacked me and Kenny. Kenny's not even here to defend himself.
No, it was because defend himself, nothing. He backed you up on that. And he would go, yeah, well, Jesse, I saw the same thing. I saw the same thing, Jesse. Yeah, y'all was all in on trashing Cleveland. But I think Indiana's legit. Like, I think
they're waiting to break through that ceiling.
Man, this might be
and they're close.
This might be going a step too far. I think Indiana can go to the finals.
Well, that was the thing last year against Boston.
But I didn't think they could. I didn't think that was real. I didn't buy that.
Maybe not last year, but I think people saw if Indiana takes another step, they can be right there.
And I think they did.
Yeah.
They're a significantly better defensive team than they were last year. And they're not great. They're not, you know, the Celtics on deep. They're not the Thunder, but they're good. And how many... It's a tradition unlike any other here in Sacramento where we're not asking the Kings to be great defensively. We're just asking them to be good. I feel like Rick Carlisle said, hey, just be good defensively.
It's kind of that new age NBA. Go get me 120 a game and just give up 110.
Stops when you need to. Yeah, and I feel like the Thunder have been able to do that. Like you looked this up for us yesterday. Not the Thunder, the Pacers, excuse me. The Pacers are just middle of the pack defensively. And they have enough on the offensive end with Tyrese pushing the ball, with Siakam being able to do what he do, with the pieces that they have, the ability that they have to score points. I absolutely think they can beat Cleveland. And I wonder if a series between Indiana and Boston became a thing. It's hard. I can't pick against Boston. It has to be a thing where I see them lose. Like I have to see them lose. I have to see the team with Tatum and Brunson lose. But if you flashed forward and said, hey, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals just happened and the Pacers beat the Celtics, I'd be like, yeah, I think I believe you. And I could probably lay out how. Part of it might be that someone or someone's from Boston isn't there because it feels like you guys might start dealing with some issues, and I'm curious how this Kristaps Porzingis thing goes over the next day or so and when he's able to return and be some semblance of himself. But you posed a question privately that I brought to the insiders earlier, but you asked the question, does Anthony Edwards have the most to gain from this postseason? And the Timberwolves are a team that I had been really, really resistant towards. I pushed back against them during the regular season. I'm not picking a winner or a loser in this series against the Golden State Warriors because I feel like I know better than to pick against Steph. But I'm also not looking down on the Minnesota Timberwolves. You're right. There's something there. You know, Casey's right. Like, there's something there. And that something starts with Anthony Edwards. But I think there's a couple of other guys who could get something out of this postseason. Anthony Edwards catapults into superstar. That's one of them. Man, I think Tyrese might be another one. They already look at Tyrese a certain way. And correct me if I'm wrong, Timberwolves went to the conference finals last year.
Yeah,
Two teams went to the exact same spots last year.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrese winds up in an NBA finals. Man,
Tyrese can elevate a lot more because he's only ever shown glimpses of superstardom.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ant is a superstar, but like we talk about Ant as if he's like next, like he's not top five yet or whatever.
Ant screams superstar.
Yeah, like he's not here yet, but he's like just right there at the door. Tyrese, they've always told us he's a superstar. He's always showed glimpses, but like he hasn't just been maybe exactly consistent with it enough. And I think a run to the finals, he'd have to be that. So that definitely put him up there, I think.
Jalen Brunson might be another one. Jalen Brunson might be another one for one reason and one reason only. No, I take that back. That's diminishing him. That's not fair. He's really good in the playoffs. It feels like Jalen elevates in the playoffs, and I don't know why. It could just be a product of recency bias. It feels like he elevates in close games. Like, I don't know who did he win clutch player of the year?
Clutch player of the year. Yeah, he's clutch player of the year. Yeah,
that checks out. That Jalen Brunson winning clutch player of the year passes the eye test.
There's no
but he's in New York too.
Yeah, but Jalen in this clutch time, there's no rush with him. He's always just gets to his spots.
He's like, very composed.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he's very poised. He is very together. Calm. Cool. At the same time, he'll kill you. He will absolutely kill you.
You think the league will buy into a 6'3 guard though?
No. Not to that level. Unless you're, I don't know how tall Steph is. But
well, yeah, Steph kind of transcends it too.
Yeah, you better you have to have a lot of different things going for you in that. But he has New York and the Knicks, and he has that. Like, there's this belief that the Knicks are this storied franchise. They're not.
Yeah, no.
They're in New York.
They're the New York Jets.
Like, they're not the Lakers. Like, the Lakers are a storied franchise in Los Angeles with just titles and types of teams named after them. Showtime Lakers, the Kobe Shaq Lakers, like, yeah, the Kobe-led Lakers. The Knicks are none of that. They never have been. They're just in New York. That's all it is.
And they played MSG.
That's it. And it's like these guys like Stephen A. Smith and the rest of these, you know, East Coast-based guys are just begging for some sort of relevancy for this basketball team. Like, they really think, like, it's the Lakers and the Knicks. Like, no, dog, it's not. The Knicks are not that.
No.
Never have been.
Don't get to sit at the Celtics and Lakers table.
Nah. They don't even get to sit in the Celtics and Lakers room.
Yeah, I don't even know if you can sit with the Warriors or the Bulls.
Nope, don't get to sit there either. You can sit with the Rochester Royals.
Damn.
Sit your ass over there. You sit, maybe. You can sit with the Dallas Mavericks. We act like Dallas isn't a major market in the United States. It is a massive, massive market. But it's not talked about the way that New York is. It's New York City. Why? Well, ESPN doesn't want to tell you that they're from Bristol. They want you to think they're in New York. There was a moment, I don't remember who was running ESPN. I don't remember who was running ESPN at the time. But there was if you go back and watch old episodes of PTI, for those that are fans of Mike and Tony, they would, you know, for us, it's the 3 o'clock Sports Center. For them, it's the six o'clock Sports Center. And the ratings for that show would always be trash. So, like, ratings would spike. They would be great for, like, they'd be good for Around the Horn. They'd really spike with PTI, and then they'd fall off when the six started, when SportsCenter started. So they started to have PTI do this overlap where, like, right before the end of the quarter hour to get that ratings bump, they'd have Mike do something. Mike and Tony do something. And he'd always say, back to Bristol. Let's go back to Bristol. Well, he stopped doing that because they didn't want people to know that ESPN was in Bristol. They want you to think they're in New York. So when they got guys like Stephen A. hyping up the New York Knicks, oh, feels genuine. And it's all right, man. Sit down.
So we got some news?
I don't.
Oh, according to Shams Charania, the Sacramento Kings are finalizing a deal to hire 3-time Chicago Bulls NBA champion B.J. Armstrong as the assistant general manager under new GM Scott Perry. Sources tell ESPN. B.J. is an agent, right?
That's so B.J. absolutely.
He was definitely an agent.
He
was an agent. I know that. Like, he definitely was. I don't know if you could still be an agent. Yeah, you can't be an agent and an
assistant
GM.
How come I didn't get my Shams alert? How come I'm late?
Maybe your key card doesn't work anymore.
My Shams notifications didn't pop up. It's a damn shame. Finalizing a deal to hire 3-time Chicago with B.J. Armstrong as an assistant. Armstrong played 11 seasons, has been a player agent over the last two decades. So,
you got connections.
No. So he's not an agent anymore, obviously, right?
You gotta assume you can't be both.
I'm trying to remember what.
Google machine. Is BJ Armstrong still an agent?
BJ, I want to see where he. Because I mean, clearly it's not his own company, right? Oh, he was with Armstrong. So he was also employed by Wasserman Media Group.
As of January 6th, he was.
Okay. So he was with Wasserman Media Group, Derek Rose, Bismack Biyombo, Emmanuel Moody, JaVale McGee. Well, not exactly a star-studded roster of clients. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, you bring in BJ, he knows other agents, right?
Absolutely. He knows other agents. He knows all of the general managers.
Yep.
Wasserman Media Group, for those who are not aware, that is a very, very high profile agency in the game. Okay. Well, I'll say it. As long as it's Scott Perry's hire, I'm fine.
Someone's got to say it, right? I mean, we're all thinking it.
As long as he is Scott Perry's hire, I'm perfectly fine with it.
Roddy in the chatty house. This is okay only if Scott made the hire.
Yeah, I mean, how many? So NBA, I've never thought I would have to look this up before. List of assistant general managers. So here's the, oh, well, okay, I found one. All right, guys, general managers, assistant general managers isn't uncommon. Oh, where is it? No, that's fine. Not uncommon. Assistant general manager is not uncommon.
It's only uncommon when the assistant general manager is sort of your general manager, too.
That's it.
And it's only uncommon when they're telling people that they have deals done and they don't.
That's it.
Yeah.
While simultaneously informing the media.
Exactly. But who would do that?
I'm not pointing, not saying any names, not pointing any fingers. Okay. So BJ Armstrong finalizing a deal to be Scott Perry's assistant general manager here in Sacramento. I'll be honest, I absolutely believe this is a Scott Perry hire because I don't think Vivek knows who BJ Armstrong is.
I just looked it up. I'm pretty sure BJ Armstrong and Scott Perry were on the same podcast together.
I don't know why. That's a crazy sentence to me.
Yeah,
Fat Joe and Jadakiss are on the same podcast together, too. I don't know what to do with any of this information.
Yeah, I think the Zach LaVine podcast that was circulated, like BJ Armstrong was on that podcast as well.
Okay.
So yeah, they've been buddies.
All right. Well, again, Wasserman Media Group is that's a massive agency. So I'm with it. I'll see what BJ got. See what Scott Perry got. So I guess this whole, this front office, this coaching staff, starting to round out a little bit.
I'm not going
to
act like I know all these assistant coaches, assistant GM, stuff like that, but for what people were looking for, this is kind of A-OK, right? Like, you wanted experience on Doug's staff. Mike Benson is supposed to be the guy.
Yeah.
Bobby Jackson, I know he's a 2002 king, but Bobby's got experience.
Yep.
So someone Doug can trust. Yep. And then GM and assistant GM with connections, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, with, and you know, Kenny used this phrase after Scott Perry's introductory press conference, the one where he was by himself. It's, you know, I'm not trying to take a shot at anyone's personality in the way that they, you know, communicate, but having a front office with a pulse is pretty exciting. Because if I used to think that, I feel like I've learned more since then, but when Monty, and if you recall, Monty McNair, you know, becomes the general manager during, you know, kind of the COVID era, if you will, and we're still, you know, doing a lot of stuff through Zoom and, you know, we're watching all of these different press conferences and meetings, all that stuff. Then you get around to in-person press conferences and started to think, yeah, we'll carry Monty McNair's press conference live. He's not going to say anything, but, you know, that's what we do with Kings fans. We do it. And then I realized, like, it's not that Monty has this, like, crafted persona where he's secretive and is quiet. It's like he...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
He just isn't that big of a communicator. He just genuinely is not that, or at least not in a form where a lot of eyes are on him. I've seen him stand around courtside talking to a variety of different people. I've seen him be engaging and laugh and fun. And shoot, I've talked to him. We've talked to him. Like, it's whatever, but he's also not charismatic. Scott Perry is. I've seen BJ talk a million times. Like, BJ Armstrong is charismatic too. I think to be an agent, you have to have a certain level of charisma to you. You have to be able to talk and you have to be able to sell. And that's part of what being a general manager is selling players on your city, your franchise, in your vision for your franchise. General managers, assistant general managers, are essentially salespeople. You have to sell them. You have to sell free agent A, free agent B, free agent C. You have to sell all of them. Maybe less so on the draft picks, but still, it's part of the game. You've got to sell your organization. And it's tough for me to envision Monty McNair selling anything. It's tough for me to envision not hearing Wes Wilcox try to sell something, feeling like I'm talking to a used car salesman. I don't get either of those impressions. And don't get it twisted. All due respect to Wes, used car salesmen can sell. I just don't know how that's looked at. I think if you got someone who enters a conversation with their antennas up a little bit, yeah, you can't catch them with that. You can't catch them with that Wes Wilcox stuff. You can't catch them with that used car salesman stuff. But I don't get that impression from Scott Perry in the and from what I know about BJ Armstrong, I don't get that from him either. So there's your latest Sacramento Kings news from Shams Charania. BJ Armstrong signing on to be Scott Perry's assistant general manager. Hopefully it goes a lot better than the last assistant general manager did. We'll come back. Trista Crick will talk with us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We will get her thoughts on the games last night, on the Nuggets, on the Knicks. We'll get her thoughts on the Pacers. Game two tonight. I have a feeling the Pacers win tonight. They won't be the subject of conversation. We'll explain why. When dealing with Casey, return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. All right, let's get our man Mitch in here before TK joins us at the top of the hour, 916-909-1320. Mitch, missed you, buddy. What's happening?
How's it going, D-Lo?
It's all good, man. It's all good.
Good working solo sometimes. Good for a change. And it seems like it's a little hot in there for Jesse, you think, after last night's game?
I think he's all right.
Really, Mitch?
Yeah, I don't think he's sweating too much.
I mean, Brunson, he's amazing. He's almost as good as AI, Allen Iverson. Maybe in the playoffs, he's more steady, reliable. AI's a little wild. He can be really a crazy playing ball, but he was a heck of a play, AI. Also with Denver, it's amazing. I mean, SGA, SGA, he deserves to win the MVP. But if they could tear away from him, I think Jokic has deserved it. I couldn't believe they beat Oklahoma, especially with Michael Porter Jr., which I would love to have as a king. He scored 2 points. And I saw that one basket I was watching him for. I saw his one basket he made, and that was the only basket he made for the whole game. What is wrong with Michael Porter Jr.?
I don't know, Mitch. He is a terribly inconsistent player.
If we're being serious, he's been getting cortisone shots, I think, in his shoulder.
Yeah.
I don't know about recently, but I know he was getting shots in his shoulder for round one.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Really? I thought he was getting them during the season. I didn't realize he was still getting them.
Yeah, he's still getting shots. I think he got it. He got it for game 7 against the Clippers. It might be just that. I mean,
it could be, but
MPJ's
I feel
always
like
been
that's
kind of streaky, but
I mean, what was he on the year, like 18 points per game?
Around there, I think.
Yeah. I feel like that. Now I need to look it up. I feel like that might have been a little high, but maybe it was somewhere in that vicinity.
It was 18 this season.
Okay.
18, 50% from the field, nearly 40% from three, 39.5, you're into that kind of stuff. 18 and 7.
Man, surviving without him, and I think they started talking, Adelman started talking, it ties in, last series, play defense, guard the perimeter. If your job is to guard the perimeter, guard the perimeter. You see Jokic last night. I don't know this for sure. I think Jokic is with me.
What do you mean?
Did you see him? I don't know if he was drawing up a play or what he was doing. But
I saw him yelling
at
the team, I think.
It looked like he was looking right at Jamal Murray.
Okay. I didn't notice that he was yelling at Jamal if that was it. I saw him yelling at the team.
I love this version of Nikola Jokic. This post Michael Malone version.
You've kind of done a 180 on the guy.
Yeah, this post Michael Malone version of Nikola Jokic is great. I know there were two clips last night. One I saw live. The first one, there's one where he's standing in front of everybody. Everyone's kind of like seated on the bench. And he's standing in front of them, and he's saying whatever he's saying, and then he sits back down with them, and Adelman and the coaches come over. The other one, he's sitting down. This is the one where he's standing up. Yeah, yeah. So he's super demonstrative if he's yelling, and then he turns and he'll sit down with them. And then, okay, you see him? Now he sits. Coaches will come over. DeAndre Jordan keeping order. There's another one where it's late in the game, and I don't know if he's drawing up a play. Like, I don't know. He's using the clipboard. He's pointing at something. And I swear to you, he's looking at Jamal Murray. And I took that as, Jamal, you stink. You drive me crazy.
I got it right. I'm going to pull it up right now.
So we've got – so watch Jokic. Tell me Jokic isn't talking directly to Jamal Murray. So you got 119-118. There's 10 seconds left. He's doing something. He's extremely demonstrative with him. He's got – it looks like he's got the pen in his hand. I think he's drawing something. Maybe he doesn't have the pen.
I think he's
– he doesn't have the pen. David – I see David Ottman's hand just went up. David Ottman still has the pen in his hand. He's telling Jamal, hey, hit a shot. Will you please be Jamal Murray the killer? Jamal's like, I don't know. Like, watch. Jamal looks confused. See, Jokic is me. Jokic is Team D'Lo right here. He's sick of Jamal Murray. Y'all see it. It's right here on the screen.
I feel like this is more constructive right here.
Probably.
Like, he's like, come on, buddy, do this.
Probably. Still, I did notice who he was talking to, and he was probably talking to him like, yo, this could be your shot right here. This is you. Whereas none of that happened, it wound up being the play that Chet Holmgren misses the free throw. The Russell Westbrook leaks out, just absolutely sprints out, gets the outlet pass, runs to the center of the floor, and Aaron Gordon pulls up for three.
Coach Jokic has really been a thing too since Mike Malone
was out there. Like, he's for real.
Yeah, he's been out there.
One of my biggest frustrations with Nikola Jokic was I didn't know if the dude cared. Like,
I think he does.
He absolutely does. I do not question that.
But it's like the anymore. I feel like I love this job, but like, it's not like everything to me, you know? Like, I love working with you guys and stuff, but it's more so like there's things when I go home or things I do where it's like that's like your hobbies and stuff like that, you know? I feel like that's just more Jokic. Maybe he's just an introverted person too. He's like being outside.
I don't think he doesn't like the I do think he loves basketball. I don't think he loves everything that comes with basketball.
He like, wouldn't be the first person either.
I don't think he loves championship parades. When the dude says he wants to go home to his horse, like, I believe him. Like, yeah, I guess I get that. And you're right. He's not the first person who hasn't loved all of the stuff that comes with professional basketball. He's probably, though, the best to ever do it that doesn't love what comes with professional. Because when you think about Wilt loved being famous. Maybe Kareem didn't. Maybe Kareem is another guy in that category who maybe Kareem in his day was a lot like Nikola Jokic. He didn't love everything that accompanied being a professional basketball player. Wilt did. I think Bill Russell did because it allowed him to do other things. And there certainly aren't very many players today. Like, you go back, you can talk about Kareem. There's probably, you know, several dozen other players just like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar who maybe didn't love everything that came with professional basketball. I don't know how many I'd put KC's money on. There's less than a handful of guys now that don't love what comes with professional basketball.
That feels fair, I think.
Because I legit can't think of another one. Like, we won't even say of the Jokic's level. We'll just say of like that upper like tier. Top two tiers, as Kyle would say.
Oh, yeah, because I feel like now these guys like make it a point to kind of just be out there.
Yeah, and he does not.
Yeah.
He absolutely does not. We got a game two tonight between the Pacers and Cavs. And I had this thought that if the Pacers go up 2-0, I think people really like Tyrese Haliburton. The media really likes Tyrese Haliburton. But I think if the Pacers go up 2-0 tonight, they won't really show the Pacers a lot of love. It will be to discredit the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think so many people have been waiting for the Cleveland Cavaliers to kind of... I think everyone wants that told-you-so moment.
Is it that, or do people just not care about the Cavs?
Oh, maybe it's that.
Because I'm going to go the other way.
But why wouldn't you? Like, Donovan Mitchell's great.
Because it's the
Cleveland. Evan Mobley's really good.
The Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James isn't there. Like, what have they ever really been when he wasn't?
Man.
And I'm not trying to hate. I'm honestly just throwing out another scenario. Because it's like, I feel like if the Pacers win tonight, like, yeah, it's gonna be like everything's going to be about Tyrese, I think.
I think
it'll be kind of a crowning moment. Not crowning because he's still got to win the series, but like Tyrese Haliburton becoming a superstar, blah, blah, blah. Like, it'll be more about the Pacers, and all this will be about the Pacers. Everyone just kind of ignore the Cavs, I feel. Like, the Cavs have been just as good as the Thunder, but no one's really paid attention.
That's what I mean. And I think
I don't think it's discrediting. It's just people just don't care.
Man. So why do people care about...
Or are moved by it, I guess.
So, like, SGA, James Harden, or excuse me, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, they're not in Oklahoma City. Why do people care about the Thunder?
Because people love the process and accumulate assets, and now this is kind of built. SGA, you got him from the Clippers or whatever. Like, you drafted Chet. Now this is all just the culmination of everything. I think that kind of plays into it. Sam Presti is like this. Everyone loves Sam Presti. He's just the face of the NBA for GMs and all that.
It's hard to argue against what Sam Presti is.
I think now we're just all seeing it come. Like, now it's all just becoming successful now. So I think that's why people are more invested in it.
I said yesterday, whatever day it was, that I thought the Rockets had the most compelling offseason ahead of them. If Oklahoma City falls short of the NBA Finals, they're right up there. Maybe I don't know if they overtake Houston, because I just don't know if you... I don't think we could be, because I think people would say OKC needed experience. They can come back. They can, plug your ears, Kings fans, they can run it back and be fine. I don't think most people believe, I certainly don't, that Houston can run it back and be fine. I thought Houston hit their ceiling this year. This is as good as they can be with the group that they have. You make a major change, you could be a championship contender. You make a couple of small changes, you know, maybe this team continues to grow and gets, you know, even better in the future with Thompson becoming a star and all of that stuff. But OKC is right there to where if they wanted to do something spicy, they could.
What is too much, though? Because this team is really young, back-to-back 60, around 60 win seasons. I think they were close to it last season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Giannis, like, we all agree, you probably make that move if he wants to go to your team and all that. But other than that, like, I don't know if I'm giving up too much for Kevin Durant or insert superstar that could be on the move this offseason. I feel like maybe they just need some development with the young guys. You don't want to move off of it too fast. Like, I kind of tied in the Celtics earlier. Like, the Celtics couldn't get over the hump, It's like, all right, move Jalen and Jason Tatum, move Brown and Tatum, whatever. And they held on. Eventually, they got over the hump. Maybe that's just the case with the Thunder here. They're just really young, and they're just, like you said, they arrived really early.
Right, and that's why I think most, and I think it would even be a correct assumption that giving them the benefit of the doubt of being young, you know, figuring things out. Because it's one thing to be like, oh, a young and up and coming team, and oh, look at what they did. Oh, they get bounced in the playoffs. Like, oh, that's okay. Their future is crazy bright versus you're a 68-win team. The spotlight that is on Oklahoma City right now is not the spotlight that was on them a year ago.
Yeah, I think comparing Houston to OKC real quick too, like, OKC has a franchise guy that, like, they have their guy. I'm not sure Houston has their guy right now.
Oh, no. I don't think they do either. It's probably Thompson.
Yeah, they don't have the guy yet.
But he's
not ready yet.
Yeah, he hasn't become that guy that I think most of us believe he will be. Like, he looks like a Brody looks like a two way star, like a for real two way star. But I'll be anxious to see the response if Cleveland goes up 2-0. And then, of course, we've got Game 1 between the Warriors and Minnesota. I'm starting to believe a little bit more in Minnesota. I'm starting to come around to the side that you and Casey have been on for a while. But
for like we've watched sports all our lives. This feels like a passing of the torch type series where the young kid's coming in ready to establish himself, and he's going to take it from the established guy like Steph.
Yeah, but one thing we know is Steph's ass going to be back there next year.
It's facts.
Somehow, some way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.